Hello and welcome to Out in the Bay, gay radio from San Francisco. I'm Eric Jansen. Tonight, firsthand stories from Africa. Uganda's ruling party has reportedly drafted a new anti-gay law that some civil rights advocates say is even harsher than the anti-homosexuality bill repealed in August. With homophobia escalating in many parts of the world, activists and resettled refugees from many countries, Cuba, Russia, Brazil, and a half dozen African nations, recently convened in Northern California at a radical fairy gathering. Tonight, I present interviews conducted in San Francisco just after that gathering with activists from Uganda and Cameroon. Up first, Ugandan Pepe Onzima, who talks about government tracking of activists, the backlash to the repeal of Uganda's Anti-Homosexuality Act, how homophobia is sweeping the continent, and why his organization feels it's so important to keep families from rejecting their queer youth.
My name is Pepe Julian Onzima. I work as the program's director for Sexual Minorities Uganda, commonly known as SMUG.
What does SMUG do?
Our main work is advocacy and policy change, but we, you know, to enhance that, we have capacity development, research and documentation. And about 5 years ago, we adopted emergency response, which deals with safety and protection of LGBT people.
Does that include helping people resettle?
Yes, that includes resettlement, medical care, legal representation, family arbitration, trying to talk to people's parents so that they can, take their children back into homes and stuff like that. We are very much community-oriented. It's sort of a culture that we have. So having family support is really, really important. Because if your family kicks you out, it's basically like, it's the end of you. So it's very important that if you ask LGBT people randomly, and if you ask them what means the most to you, they will tell you, my brother's love, my mother's love, my family, right? So every time someone calls us and needs intervention from SMUG, we do take that in consideration. If it's someone who's been kicked out by their family, we try to trace, we trace why it has come to that point where that person has been kicked out. And we also try to evaluate whether it would be possible to talk to the person's parents or guardian or, whoever they refer to as family, to see if we can, talk to them or find someone who's better suited to talk to them to be able to take this person back. Because even if you try to do, you try to resettle the person, there will still be that need for family. Mm-hmm. So our first point of action is usually to find out what exactly went wrong with their family.
We heard a lot in the United States about this law in Uganda that was recently repealed. Catch me up to date on that a little bit. And then overall, what is the situation for LGBT people?
Well, the law, the one called the Anti-Homosexuality Act, has been repealed. It was a law that would see people jailed, a jail term of life, if you're found practicing homosexuality or in homosexual acts. But we already have another law for that. However, this particular one, the one called the Anti-Homosexuality Act, was repealed. That was a victory for us, but socially people's minds are still in the thinking that this is an evil thing, right? And when the courts nullified the law on a technicality, the Christian leaders, religious leaders who were present in court were saying outrageous things like, we'll rather kill you ourselves, we'll make sure that this law still comes back. Like really outrageous things, like you could feel the you could feel the air around the court that people really wanted to pounce on anyone they suspected to be LGBT. So socially, there's a high risk for us living in Uganda, and the law is however much it seems like it's nullified, it has not really been our major fear. Our major fear has always been the society. It has been our neighbors, it's been our medical service providers, it's been, you know, our people who sell groceries to us. Those are the people that we've been most afraid of. And this law being repealed has really pissed people off. So the situation generally still remains that of unrest. But the good thing is that as organizations, we still can do our work. Because part of the law was that a section that prohibited any kind of advocacy, any kind of positive, you know, dialogue about homosexuality. And that was termed as promotion of homosexuality. And now that the law is not there, at least now we can exist and we can keep pushing. And also the parliament wants, a number of people within the parliament want the law back. But at least the fact that it's been repealed, it buys us some time to, you know, to change minds and hearts. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Is it more difficult for transgender people there than for gay men and lesbians? Is it similar? Is it kind of all in the same bag? Or are there different levels of tolerance for different people, different sexual minorities?
I think all over the world there is a misconception of who a gay person is. So most people think it's in the way people dress, the expression through dressing. And across Africa, across, you know, in Uganda, when you ask someone, so what do you think a gay person is? They will tell you a person who's effeminate, a person who's masculine, you know, a female person who's masculine is gay. But people have different body types, you know. So it's harder for transgender people, both trans men and trans women, because we are constantly being mistaken to be gay, mm-hmm. you know, gay or lesbian. So the violence that people talk about in Uganda is actually targeted towards trans. But because what seems to be popular is homosexuality, and it's about gay people. So the reports never really come out in a detailed way to say, actually, you know, this person who was beaten close to death was a transgender person. It just says there was a gay man or there was a gay woman. Mm-hmm. But overall, it's actually transgender people who are more physically attacked.
I remember the first couple of days you were worried that people might be trying to reach you because there are people in Uganda who need help and you can't leave detailed messages about where you are because that might get you in trouble. So you can't tell them I'm out of the country, right? Why is that? Well, you can be tracked, and tell me what your kind of personal fears are when you're traveling or doing your organizing work.
My personal fear when I travel is because there's usually someone who stays at my house. And people know where my house is. Like, people that I'm afraid of know where my house is. And I fear that when I'm gone, you know, through tracking my phone, tracking my social media presence, that someone could go into my home and break my home and hurt someone that I love. 'Cause at times it's my cousin, at times it's a friend. And those are people I care about. So that's one of my fears. Then the other fear is, actually a fear that lingers a lot, is that people within my community who keep reaching me, because I did counseling as part of a profession. So, and I have many cases of attempted suicide. And obviously, the people I see kind of become temporarily dependent on me. So if I'm not there, it's like something's broken, right? And they fear for me too. When they don't hear from me, they think something has happened to me, and then they worry that they won't have a support system. So those are my two main fears when I travel. Yes, I'm being tracked, but initially I used to not let people know, or I would deactivate my social media and you know, travel. But then I found out that the government and, you know, other people knew that when I'm off, you know, social media, that means I'm not in the country. So I decided to just leave it open and actually even check in with where I am exactly, so that if anything happened to me, if anything happens to me at the spot I last checked at in, people will know. And if they, you know, they can go back and start tracking, you know, yeah. Mm-hmm. Rather than just leaving it, you know, without people knowing where you were exactly.
Right.
Yeah. If something happened to me, then they wouldn't be able to get any starting point of trying to find me.
Is this anti-gay, trans, lesbian, is this recent, or has it been going on for a long, long time? And is it recent because of the U.S. evangelicals, or has there always, has it always been there?
We've always had sodomy laws, right? We have sodomy laws. But when it comes to
the social atmosphere.
Yeah, the social atmosphere. It increased in 2009 after U.S. evangelicals came to Uganda. That was March 2009. Then a few months later in October, that's when the law was introduced. And there's just a whole homo panic in the country. It was created in 2009 when U.S. evangelicals came.
And do you see it similar in other African countries? Are there any others that are like particular hotspots, particularly bad?
Yes, other countries are picking it up because it also ties into the way our country is viewed politically. When my president came to power, he was one of those, you know, really celebrated leaders in Africa. And, you know, HIV fight in Uganda was, we won on the global map. So a lot of African countries have looked up to Uganda, and with this anti-homosexual or anti-gay rhetoric, they've also looked up to Uganda because of the way Uganda said, you know, we're a sovereign country, and, you know, all those things. So people have seen that, okay, the Ugandan president is still standing by, you know, his word, so all other leaders should be the same. So yes, other countries are doing the same. Gambia, you know, Congo actually does not have laws, but because of our law, they started picking it up. They don't really have evangelicals, but it's sort of trying to emulate, quote-unquote, an African stance. Kenya, you know, it's worrying. I mean, Kenya has one of the best constitutions in Africa, a recent one at that. They're also picking it up. There's parliamentarians who are pushing, you know, for an anti-gay law. We've seen Nigeria. Nigeria actually had a law before us, but when they saw ours, you know, picking up, they also held on to theirs so strongly and even passed it before us. So there are different countries that are picking us. Zambia, you know, South Africa is trying to overturn, you know, a very good constitutional protection for LGBT people because they're seeing that this, you know, country is also doing the same. So evangelicals sow the seed in Uganda, but then the ripple effect is across the continent.
Thanks very much. Anything else you want to add?
People have often asked me in such a high-risk place, do I ever think of leaving the country? Do I ever think of leaving my activism? I just want people who worry about me to know that their support is really important, and I'm really happy living in Uganda. And, you know, as long as their support keeps coming through, I keep being inspired and keep being strong.
You're listening to Out in the Bay, gay radio from San Francisco, proudly supported by Brad Payton and Richard Murk of Portola Valley, who hope their generous donation to Out in the Bay will inspire yours. Out in the Bay is independently produced. Learn more, get free weekly podcasts, hear past favorites, and chip in at outinthebay.org. I'm Eric Jansen. We just heard from Pepe Julian Onzima, Program Director of Sexual Minorities Uganda. Learn more at sexualminoritiesuganda.com. That interview was conducted in September, when I also spoke with two activists from Cameroon, one of whom fled a year ago, fearing for his safety after a friend was killed. He now lives in the Bay Area. English is not their first nor even their second language. I encourage you to hear their stories.
Hi, everybody. My name is Gail. I'm coming from Cameroon, and I'm running a lesbian association called ELS.
ELS?
Yeah, E-L-L-E-S.
And what does that organization do?
It's focused on lesbian, lesbian issues, you know, health, law, life, help them being safe.
And Cedric?
Hi, I'm Cedric, and I was working in the summer organization called Alternative Cameroon. We're doing a job to help people about HIV and sometimes about human rights. And now I'm living here in USA. I get my asylum, and
So what is life like for gay and lesbian people there? Is it difficult?
You know, what I want to say first, Cameroonians are very proud. So even if they are in trouble, even if they have some problem, they are not going in front and tell, I'm facing this. So it's not about being killed. It's much about being hiding yourself. So being gay in Cameroon is, you're hiding yourself, you are playing two life, two different faces that you have to wear ever when you are in some situation. You have to show a face, and when you are in another, you have to show another. So it's been hiding yourself in Cameroon on being gay. Very, very.
Is it illegal? Are there laws against it?
Yeah, we have an article 347A of our constitution, which is not really an article, it's much about an ordinance. I don't know how to call it in English, so excuse my English, people, please, listeners. I'm just trying to speak English. So it condemns same relationships or same sexual intercourse. But when people are going to jail, it's not about their sexual intercourse, it's just about someone. And your neighbor on the police to tell people that you are gay, and they come to arrest you. You can't dress like me. I'm a woman. I like pants. I like skirt, t-shirt. They say that I'm lesbian, even if it's right. But there are so many people. There are so many girls which are wearing the same clothes and which are not lesbian. So it's
partly like to dress, look a certain way,
yeah,
based on what sex you are.
Yeah, it's much about than the issue of this article that we are supposed to be condemned mm-hmm. for it. Yeah.
And has that been the law for a long time, or is this something more recent?
No, it's not recent. It's 1972 when you have our first president, late Ahmadou Ahidjo. And now life is very difficult in Cameroon. It's very, very difficult, and they have to find a guilty man to give a reason of our social bad life.
Like, is the economy is bad, for example?
Yeah, economy is bad. Everything is not going well, so they have to find a guilty, and they say that, okay, it's homosexual. They say that homosexual are just bad for society.
So can you tell me how difficult was it for you to acknowledge that you are lesbian and to start this organization, or how did you get involved?
You know, you can tell in Cameroon that you're homosexual. If I'm wrong, you just have to see Cedric. He's here now because he said in front of all of the world that he's gay. You can say in Cameroon that you are gay.
Cannot.
No, you cannot. Even my organization is not about on our status is not that we are lesbian focused. No, it's that we are working for women. We know as association that we are working for lesbian, but in front of all of the country, we are working for women. Even if they know that you are focused on lesbian. Your work, your aim, the aim of your association is lesbian, but you can't tell it.
Everybody knows, but they don't say it. You
no.
can't say it.
No, I can't say it. Mm-hmm. I want to be safe, you know. I want to see, I want to drink my beer. They knows, you know, but I can't tell. Mm-hmm. It's like, just like, don't ask, don't tell.
Right.
They knows that I'm a lesbian because
okay.
I'm just working with women. Mm-hmm. On my room, on my house, there's just women. So,
mm-hmm.
But they don't ask and I don't tell. So
okay.
everything's okay.
And Cedric, what about you? Did you leave Cameroon because you had problems being gay there?
First of all, I live in Cameroon because I was in trouble. I was an actor on some documentary about the gay life in Cameroon. And after that documentary, I have many problems. But the documentary is not the problem. It's the mind of the population in Cameroon who has the problem with that situation. And I moved to be safe and... there was difficult for me to move because it was Cameroon is my country and I have all my whole family and I left everything, my job, my situation, all my family. I left Gael too, and I was obligated to move to be safe and to save my life. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But
were you like threatened, physically threatened, or?
Yes, I was physically threatened. I was beat and also attacked with many things like knife, like stick, like.
Because you were in this documentary.
Yes, it's because I was in the documentary. Every person know that I'm gay and I'm activist and I'm doing everything to change the situation of LGBTIQ. Community in Cameroon, and it was my problem.
So then after that you were targeted then?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was very difficult, and I tried to stay, but after that I see that they killed one of my friends in Yaoundé, and I was so afraid to stay, and I want to be alive to continue to fight and continue to do that work to change the situation of community in Cameroon.
Do you see it getting better or do you see it getting worse?
It's getting worse.
Very worse.
Why?
Very worse.
As I told you, they are finding a guilty, you know, from our situation. We have a president which hit the state from 32 years now. So they are tired. The economic situation of the country, they have to find a guilty and we are guilty for them.
Mm. And also, the government going to add more years. They're going to change to 5 years, to 10 and 15 years in the jail. And that is the bad thing that we can hear, you know.
And the most important thing is not about law. It's about being. It's about human being. When you have to hide yourself about who you are, when you can't. Smile, you can dress as you want, you can be who you want. I think it's more than the jail.
That was Gael of the organization ELLES in Cameroon with her friend and fellow activist Cedric, who now lives in the San Francisco Bay Area after having to flee Cameroon. Earlier in this half hour, we heard from Pepe Onzima of Sexual Minorities Uganda. If you'd like to know more, check out the links on our website, outinthebay.org. You're listening to Out in the Bay, independently produced by me and Marilyn Pittman. I'm Eric Jansen. We have some special music to end our show tonight, but before that, I want to let you know that if you missed part of this broadcast, you can hear the whole thing on our website, outinthebay.org, by about 8 o'clock tonight, where you can also sign up for free podcasts and get the Stitcher app that lets you hear radio programs on mobile devices. You can also hear our most recent shows right on the site and about a dozen of our favorites from our 10 years on the air. We thank KALW, our host station, for studio use and airtime. As an independent production, production, we need your financial support. Join our friends Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Portola Valley and Jennifer Reiser of San Francisco by making a tax-deductible donation on our website, outinthebay.org. Now, from musician John Valley, part of his We Were the Hunted Then, about growing up gay in Missouri in the 1980s, a feeling he says still exists in many places, including Africa.
I want to tell you a story. I want to tell you a story about a young boy lost in the dark. Hey! My best friend back in high school used to say from time to time things like, all fags ought to have their wigwams cut off and or be sent to an island. Hey, I was not amused, but I was still too confused to stand up and say anything. It's 1986. Oh Lord, what a complication that could bring to a high school boy of a certain type. Not that I knew who I was, not that those feelings were right. When you live in a climate of fear, things are not always exactly clear. When what you are is queer, and the worst thing you can be called in the high school halls was faggot, faggot, faggot. When your church implies that your maker will make you suffer in the fires of hell for a period of time that cannot be defined, cause it never ends. We're to be known as one, or suspected as one, was to be an outcast of the highest degree, to be ridiculed in the halls, pushed and threatened without much help. It would be safe to be bent. You're not very bloody likely to reveal the secret that has protected you. You're in no rush to tell anyone. Sometimes your very own soul. The world was not wide. That salvo had not been fired. This was years before Will and Grace or the Book of the Fish.
Hunted! Hunted! Hunted!
We were cut off from each other.
Our sisters, our brothers.
Isolated and unaware that there were others out there.
Hunted! Hunted! Hunted!
And always the dogs barking. Always searching, always tracking, always hunting. Even when you had suspected that you had just added to a sympathetic pair of eyes, you must realize that to reach out across the void is to lower your defenses, and to do so felt like taking leave of your senses. Cause it was a line that could not be uncrossed, and so we let the moment expire. Dogs barking in the distance.
Faggot! Faggot!
Dogs barking in the distance. Are you just a little faggot, aren't you? Dogs barking in the distance, little sissy boy. We were the hated. We were the feared. We were the misunderstood.
We were the hunted.
We were just kids.
John Valley, part of his song We Were the Hunted Then. Find more on his website, johnvalley.com. That's JONValley.com. I'm Eric Jansen. Thank you so much for listening to Out in the Bay.